Take your Bibles, please, and join me, if you will. Romans chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me just thank everyone who helps on Friday mornings, cleaning and mowing and trimming and all of this. Thank you so very much. This is an ongoing labor. The bathrooms don't just shine themselves. The doors don't, these glass doors aren't just always nice and clean. Don't you have to clean your glasses from time to time, you know? Just imagine if little toddlers run around and had their hands on your glasses. That's what happens with our doors. And so thank you so very much for your labor of love. We need two more men and a lady to help tomorrow. We have some people out of town, and I want you to pray about that. I'm going to ask you at the end of the service for two men and a lady. Okay, so you pray about that, and I'll, you know, put that right there, and I'll ask you about it at the end of church service. Romans chapter 1, let's begin reading, please, in verse number 5. The Bible says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Here's a message from God's man reaching out to people, many of whom he had not met, some that he had, but most of which he did not know. And he's praying for them and asking God to give him an opportunity to meet them, because he's lifting them up in prayer. You know, you can pray for people you don't know. You can pray for people that God is using, God is directing. You can pray for missionaries. You can pray for public officials. You can pray for folks that I had a man when I traveled for Neighborhood Bible Time as a youth evangelist, was in college. He told me, he said every time that the sun starts to go down and the first star that you see at night is not really a star at all. It is Venus. That's the bright and morning star, the one that you can tell, because it never twinkles. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Venus doesn't do that. It just shines. It's the first one out. He said, every time I saw that star, every time I see that star, I pray for my wife. And I said, "Oh, I didn't know you're married, Mike." He said, "I'm not." He was in college also. And I said, "Oh, well, I didn't know you were engaged." He said, "I'm not." And I said, "Well, are you dating somebody pretty serious?" He said, "No." I said, "But you're praying for your wife?" "Yeah." "But you don't know who she is." He said, "But God does. And I'm praying that God will keep her pure and help her in her walk with the Lord and strengthen her and bless her and use her and gift her and all." And he was just praying very specifically about his future wife, even though he didn't know who she was, because God did. Now listen, folks, the Apostle Paul didn't know these people by name. He had not looked in the eyes of many of them, but he was praying for them nonetheless. He had a very vital, very active prayer life. And I'm jumping ahead, but this is a great thought. Here in verses 1 through 8, we find five times the name Jesus Christ. Five times in eight verses, he names the name of Jesus Christ. In our text, there were three here in verses 5, three in there, two or three. But in verse number 1, the Bible said, called to be an apostle, which he had promised to four scriptures, his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Verse 5, we received grace for obeying the faith. And verse number 6, Jesus Christ. And verse number 7, grace to you all and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He was focused not on himself. He was focused on Jesus Christ. Look up here, please. Most of our problems can be adjusted quite well if we get the balance of our focus fixed. Joy is found in putting Jesus first and others next and yourself last. So it's interesting that here in this passage and 26 times in the book of Romans, he focuses the attention on Jesus Christ. By the way, many times in Scripture, you'll find in 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Thessalonians and different times throughout the New Testament, you'll find that letters that are written, he has to address, whether it's Peter or James or John or Paul, they are dealing with some difficulties that people are having, some problems. I don't find, as I've been previewing and studying the book of Romans, I don't find corrective statements of a problem of this church in Rome. Maybe it's because he hadn't been there yet. I don't know, you know. But we don't find that. We find such good meat of God's word. Let me just share with you about this title. I don't know. We'll try to get through this whole text here tonight. But in this title, the value of our faith, the value of our faith. Have you ever had a greater value on something than someone else did? Or maybe you tried to buy something from someone and you didn't think it was worth what they were asking. Some of you are very, very good at yard sales. Are you good at yard selling, getting bargains and all that? Yard sales, go around. I hate yard sales. I really just, I don't know that I mind as much going to them, but boy, I'd rather take a beating than to do a garage sale or yard sale from our, Now my wife, thankfully, she can handle it. She does a great job with yard sales. She really does. But I just can't bring to my thoughts that somebody's going to take this and leave my house giving me $2 for it. I know how much that thing cost. I know how much I paid for it. And them offering 50 cents, I just want to tell them, hit the road. Just go. My mother had some furniture. And she asked me, she said, why don't you take this furniture, antique furniture, precious, I mean, and in great shape, I mean, stellar shape. This is not a commercial. And she asked me to take it to some antique dealers in town. And so I did. And they looked at it and I don't like that. Now I'll give you $10, you know, I'll give you $5, you know, that kind of thing. And I'll give you $25 for the whole set, you know. That's highway robbery. They're going to turn around. They're going to say, this is the greatest stuff in all the world. Only $250. That's exactly what they would do, you know, for the whole set. And I'll give you $25 for the whole set. I put it back in the van and I took it back home, brought it back home, didn't I? And I told Mama, she'd been upset with me if I had sold it for that. Because there's great value in it. Maybe other people don't see the value. And we have young people that are going off to state colleges and state schools. And they go unprepared for what they're going to be confronted with. And there was a preacher who was trying to prepare young people and that kind of thing. And they didn't believe him. And the first day of class, the professor had a Bible sitting on the corner of his desk. He thought, wow, that is amazing. That's wonderful. Here's a Christian young man. He walks in, sits down, and he notices this Bible on the corner of the teacher's desk. He says, that preacher was wrong. That preacher was foolish. And when class started, the professor, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Longnose, whatever his name was, he reached over and he picked up the Bible. He said, now this is a Bible. Some people say it is from God. It has been written by men. It's full of lies. It's undependable and it will harm you. And he tosses it in the trash can in front of the whole class. And he says, any questions? And then he goes on to teach. Now, there are people who do not value our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, he is the risen Savior. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And just because the world will not kowtow, will not obey, one day they will bend their knee and bow before him and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the value of your faith, As we look at this passage here, let me point your attention now to verse number 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Received this mission from God for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. The test of our faith, number one, is our submissive heart, our obedience to what God has said. I wouldn't give you two hoots for somebody who says they got saved and refuses to claim the name of Jesus Christ as a believer. For a Christian who refuses to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you know, they're just, you know, for whatever reason. Hey, listen, none of us likes a spotlight on, well, some people do, but most people don't like the spotlight. Most people are afraid of being embarrassed in front of people. But when you study the Word of God and you find out how much Jesus was shamed and embarrassed for my sin and for yours, then for us to say, yes, Lord, I will identify with you, like these teenagers are going to do tonight, like many adults are going to do this coming Sunday, they're going to identify with you, with Jesus Christ, in obedience. But not just in baptism. Not just in baptism. But Jesus died for the church. And folks, you need to commit and say, this is my home. Now, you can shop for homes all day long, and you can have realtors take you in house after house after house, and you can say, well, this one would be pretty good. Boy, this would be nice and wonderful. But listen, when you sign on the dotted line and you say, okay, I'm committing, this is going to be my house. Then it's not the church I go to then, it's my church. It's my church. It's the church that God has led my family to. I encourage you to obey the Lord if He leads you to become a member of this church. I believe that we should obey Him in the reading and the study of His Word. I believe that we should obey Him in coming and worshiping together. And I'm preaching to the choir here today. Because here you are tonight on a Thursday night, and where are you? You're in church. I'm preaching to the other folks that aren't here. So that part goes right over your head. You can check that one off. Obedience to the Lord. Obedience to the faith, the Bible says. The Apostle Paul was not disobedient to the calling of God. Now listen, please. If God ever taps on your heart and says, I want you to do the specific thing, God has a reason for that. And even if it seems silly to you, you obey His call. You obey His voice. You obey His direction. You don't know the blessing it's going to be. You might hear about the work that's going on over at the Annex House, preparing that for the ladies that are doing the knitting and crocheting. And also a burden upon my heart as a pastor that we begin a singles ministry, an outreach to singles, young people that are college age and above, and a ministry to reach out to those, maybe up to 35 years old or something like that. This is a group of folks that need camaraderie and need a fellowship and need encouragement and teaching the Word of God. Maybe you can help over there in getting that finished. Journey through Christmas. We could go on and on. But a submissive heart, an obedient test of our faith. God allows our faith to be tested. And then, let's look at the title of our faith. Look at verse number 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're noticing in your King James Bible, and if you're reading along, you see that there's a couple of words that are italicized. Do you see that in your King James Bible? Do you see that? I'm pointing this out for a reason. Do you know why words are italicized in the King James Bible? Do you know why they're italicized? I always thought it was to be emphasized. You know, called to be saints. I thought, you know, that's kind of why we italicize words, to punctuate it. Okay? Now, when the translators were translating from the original, the Textus Receptus, when they were translating from the original language, the original Greek, in order to have the emphasis of the language, the emphasis of the word, and when our English words didn't give a full enough meaning of the original, they would add in some words that more reflected exactly what the honest translation of the Greek said. Okay? But because those words were not in the text, they italicized them. So that they're honestly giving you a translation of the Word of God as honestly as possible, that they have added these because it's the inflection of the meaning is there, but the words were not given in the Greek. So they've added them, and then they italicized them. You'll find that all through the King James Bible, that there are, from time to time, there are italicized words, and they're wanting to make sure that we know they were not in the original Greek, okay? Or the original Hebrew. Now that's honesty in translating. That's honesty in that. So, we can look at that verse and go back and look at it with me. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. What if we leave out the words to be that were added? Called saints. You know that you're called a saint by God? I just thought that really, you know, incredibly holy, righteous people that do all the wonderful works and all these good works and things, they're saints. No, God calls every born-again believer, every child of God, a saint. He looks at us and He does not see the sin that we've committed because it's been paid for and we're bearing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The word justified means just as if you'd never sinned. Called saints, the title that we have. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This title of sainthood that we have is not because any of us deserve it, because we don't. I know I don't, and I have news for you, you don't either. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So in verse 7, to all that be in Rome, that means you're a saint, and 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 you're not. No! Everybody who's saved. Brother Herb's a saint. Alice is a saint. We don't necessarily have to say St. Wes, you know. Sounds good. but we can be brother and sister, and the ground's level at the foot of the cross. We're all in God's eyes. Maybe not in man's eyes, but in God's eyes, we're right with Him. So the title of our faith, one marvelous, and there's a lot of wonderful things there. We must hasten, and then the testimony of our faith, verse number 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. The testimony of our faith. Their testimony was that they were steady. They were steady. They had a testimony in a sinful world. Now understand. He's saying that this church, this group of believers, they're being talked about throughout the whole world, everywhere he's been. You know, there are heroes of the faith that I have never met, but I've heard of. I've heard of. And I've heard people talk about them. And later on, I encourage you to read over this sometime, chapter 16. Of Romans, chapter 16, he goes through and names bunches of people that are in the Roman church, in the church at Rome. Some of whom he's never met. Some of whom that he has crossed paths with. And they told him about the church there at Rome. We're to have a steady testimony of righteousness and holiness before a sinful world. Now, I don't have to tell you what Rome was like, do I? The gluttony, the partying, the adultery, the murders. I mean, all you have to know is a little bit of history, just secular history of Rome. And the tunnels that were built from the library to the brothels. And where someone, some senator or some person could go and say, I'm going to the library. And then they end up, you know, sin was rampant. Idolatry. And it sounds a lot like the United States of America and the world in which we live today. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 1 John 2, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we are supposed to be different from the world. We are supposed to be a light in darkness. And darkness does not overcome light. Light overcomes darkness. If you're in a job or in a family and in an area of people that do not believe and they cuss and they swear and dirty stories and wicked actions and lifestyle and all, and you're the only Christian in that area, let me tell you something. Their darkness does not make your light any darker. In fact, it makes your light brighter. I can demonstrate that for you if we turn out all the lights. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But we can turn out all the lights. And I can get one little light up here on my phone and turn it on. And all eyes would be on that one little light. But then I could also get my phone, and with all these lights on in here, I could turn on my light and it wouldn't be anything special at all. So God needs us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. So a steady testimony of our faith. Number four, look please at verse number 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. A teamwork of our faith. Testimony of our faith. And number four, teamwork of our faith. He's praying for them. You realize that he was never able to knock on doors in Rome. I mean, he was never able to knock on doors in Rome. Whenever he finally got to Rome, he got to Rome in chains. And he was under house arrest. Now, God gave him opportunity to witness. He won guards to the Lord, and there were people that came and visited him, and he'd win them to the Lord and things. But he did not get to go out and have citywide campaigns. No crusades in Rome. Okay? But he was part of the work there in Rome because he was sending up prayer missiles from Corinth as he was writing this. Lord, please bless them, protect and guide them, provide for their every need, give them a bright witness, bless the preaching, bless the witnessing. He was networking with them as a team. Teamwork in our faith. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice, Psalm 55:17. Do you pray? Do you actively pray? Just praying for meals, is that what it is? Just praying at church? Or do you pray specifically, by name? Do you pray about specific needs? God wants to hear our prayers. Say, well, God's sovereign and God is going to do anything he wants anyway. No, he wants. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Teamwork. Teamwork of our faith. And then last, the tenderness of our faith. Look at verse 10. Making request, if by any means, now at length, this is something he's wanted to do for a long time, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He had a desire to see these dear folks. He wanted to, the next verse talks about imparting a spiritual gift, and then we'll get to that next week. But he wanted to embrace them. He wanted to put a face with the name. He wanted to encourage them. He wanted to help them to keep on keeping on. All these kinds of things. And the sacrifice that he was willing to make. He wasn't saying, now you all load up on a ship and come see me. No. He was saying, I'll come and see you. But I have to go by God's leading and God's will. He was subjecting his desires to what God wanted. Now therein lies spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is submitting our will to what God wants. Wouldn't you think it'd be a good thing all that he was wanting to do for the folks in Rome, that was a good thing. And for him to just charge on ahead, this is a good thing, it's a right thing. I can give you scripture references why I should do this. But you see, the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs in the affairs of man. And sometimes he says yes. And sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says wait. And he was hindered. And God said, wait, wait. But God did answer his prayer. And he did get to go to Rome. And he did get to see them. And that was his launching point from earth to heaven. Because he gave his life for Jesus Christ when he was in Rome. So the capital of the world became the launching point where he met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords face to face. Romans is an exciting study. And the value of your faith should grow and grow and grow as we study in this passage, as we study throughout the chapters of Romans. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it'll be an academic thing. Please make sure that Jesus is in your heart, that heaven is your home, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would help us to grow in you, to love you more every day. And Lord, thank you that our faith has value. Lord, you said that it's impossible for us to please you without faith. And Lord, by faith, the elders received a good report. I pray, God, that as you said, if we have real faith, it doesn't even have to be a lot. But if the faith is plugged into the greatest power in the universe, into you, dear Lord, oh, mountains can be removed. The value of our faith, it's incomparable. Now, Lord, in just a moment, we're going to see an expression of that faith in some young people that are willing to take their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.